Mickey and I'm an addict. It's good to be here, it's good to be clean, it's good to be back at this meeting. It's, you know, I was here last year, funny enough, I shared here last year with Anne-Marie.
Really?
And there's lots of people who was here last year who are still here today. The majority of them do service at this meeting. Worked the steps and got a sponsor. Yeah, so a little bit about myself. My recovery sort of started around here, but it wasn't okay. We've got a camera rolling here, or oh dear. It's going to get easier or harder, I don't know. But so my recovery started around here. What happened? I went out ways and means of getting more, and you know, I committed an offence round the corner in Covent Garden, and it comes to an abrupt end. Again, you know, and the fear that come into me, the fear that come over me that night, you know, I'd recognise the policeman that, you know, I'd been nicked by him before, and you know, I was under observation, and he'd run past me, and my world fell apart. As soon as he ran past me, I knew exactly what was happening, and I panicked, and I was very fearful, and I couldn't face not using. So, you know, I remember, it lasted for a couple of minutes before they managed to contain me and put me on the floor and cuff me and put me down, face down in the rain. And, I was in Bow Street on the road. It was wet, it was cold. And for a brief moment, the obsession to use left me. And, the consequences of my life slipped in again. And, you know, I was sitting there and it took a long time. I was laying there, it took a long time for the van to come, and it just dawned on me what my life had become. You know, it just really, really hit home. You know, all of a sudden I was lonely, I was cold, it was damp. And what I realised is that's just how my life was. You know, that was what it was, but you know, the obsession to use was more. And that just kept me going through it. And, you know, I'd used for a long time. I'd used for about that time. I taught use for about 25 years. And, you know, and I had lots of consequences. And, you know, and it's not about what I used or where I went in my using or anything like that. It's about coming here, but it's just my story. And, you know, I spent a lot of time in jail. And what happened when I got arrested that day... I got remanded in custody, I got sent to another court for a sentence, and I ended up in front of a judge, and I've been away for a while, and I ended up in front of this judge, and he just, to my amazement, he said, prison doesn't work for you. And he was right. No, he was right, and I understand today why prison and places like that don't work for people with the disease of addiction. You know, I understand that, but at the time I didn't understand it, and you know, at the time, even when he said, you know, jail doesn't work for you, I sort of questioned that, because it did work in my favour. You know, when I come out, it was easier for me to commit offences. I looked well again. And, you know, I could go grafting in nice places, and then it slowly deteriorated, and then it was back to the graft of, you know, the daily, you know, the long walks and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But so he come up with that idea, that jail doesn't work for me, and then I thought, and he sort of spoke about treatment, and I thought there's a way out here. You know, I thought there's a way out here. I didn't think there's a way out of addiction, I thought there's a way out of jail. And you know, I was going to take it, and I took it, and I ended up getting sentenced to go into treatment. I ended up getting sentenced to come into a 12-step program. It was a 12-step treatment center. It wasn't a fellowship of NA. And I ended up there, and obviously because it was a sentence, it was really sort of difficult just to take that. And So that's how it started for me. And you know, I was talking to my sponsor about it last week. My life, what it had become, you know, I'd become a role model for social services. You know, I've become an example of someone who neglects their children. I've become a role model within the criminal justice system for a prolific offender. You know, and you know, I become society's defect. And they was willing to remove me at any point. And they did, and they kept doing that. And rightly so, they kept doing it, because, you know, I was just a pest. So that's how it started, and you know, I'm waffling a bit now because I don't know where I'm going, but my life has dramatically changed. You know, I come here initially, I come to meetings and you know, and sold Viagra. and it worked for a little while. And I'd come to meetings and you could smoke in meetings then, and I'd go outside and smoke. And I come here, you know, when I come here, I had absolutely no skills at communicating. I had no self-esteem. I was riddled by the illness of addiction. It absolutely stole everything. It took everything. And, you know, I couldn't do anything. You know, I couldn't speak in meetings. I couldn't be part of, you know. My day when I first got clean was to come to a meeting and go home. You know, and probably the reason I spent more time outside of the meeting talking to people, because I couldn't really do it outside of the fellowship. And that's how it was. My experience is that not a lot of people reached out. You know, my experience was that you know, I'd seen what I'd become, and I didn't want to go back. And you know, I was going to meetings where they, you know, they was quite dysfunctional. I was talking to a friend of mine earlier. We used to go to a meeting. It was like the exercise yard in Wandsworth. You know, everyone was, you know, it was all outside, and it was all about who, what, da 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 da, and that, you know, and that's the sort of meetings I went to. But you know, it was a meeting, and there was a power there. You know, might have been a dysfunctional one, but it was there. And then I heard a fella share at a meeting. I heard a fella share at one of these meetings, and he said something, and he knew what he was talking about. And I thought, I like what he's got, and I like what he's got, and I knew that what I had, I didn't really like, and I knew that what I had wasn't going to keep me clean. Thank you. I'd got a sponsor who I was manipulating and grafting and you know, not doing anything with, and I thought that was working, but I just knew something had to change. So I asked his friend to sponsor me, and like I was fearful then of staying clean, I'm not fearful of that today. You know, I don't doubt that I'm going to get through today without using. I know 100% I'm going to get home safe tonight, and that's as a result of what I do. And the people that I do it with, and this fellowship. I'll just tell you briefly, I was going to end on this, I ain't going to go on and on and on, but, you know, how my life has changed is, you know, I went and sat outside that court the other week. I went and sat outside there and sat back and just thought about it, you know, when that judge sentenced me, how it was, and I thought, how different it is 4 years down the line. You know, how I haven't used 4 years. And obviously I ended up somewhere with the line of work that I went in. I ended up going to a meeting. I went to a meeting and I sat next to the woman once who wrote my pre-sentence report for when I got that DTTO. I'm just the same as everybody else here who does the work. You know, it's got better. You know, I'm not fortunate in that. It's just, if I was, I would be the only one who was getting that. But I see so many people getting days clean and weeks clean and months clean and years clean and staying clean, staying doing this. It blows me away. You know, it still blows me away. You know, I haven't harmed anybody today. That I'm aware of. My life, you know, my day, you know, my day today has been my best day in recovery, and you know, all that I've done in it is not used. You know, my days don't get better through outside stuff. My days get better by doing this and reflecting on how my life was. You know, if you're new, this does work. I don't know about the Viagra though. Because lots of people I sold Viagra to ended up on my step 8. You know, lots of people went back out there. Something that you know I had to look up to. And I'll end on this. When I really knew I had to change as well, I met a fella. He was a friend of mine, and he ordered 100 Viagra or something like that. And I went to meet him to sell him the Viagra, and he told me that his partner relapsed. And I thought, what about my Viagra? You know, what am I going to do with this? And then that was, you know, I realised in recovery that I was harming people. And that's not recovery. And you know what, thanks everyone for being here. Help me stay clean. I'll leave it there. Thank you.